Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
The Fan, great to be here with you guys live from Padres Fantasy Camp. And I guess the meeting's wrapping up in there. One of the minor league coordinators just threw down a giant bunting competition. And campers can get in there. And if you win, you win $20. If you lose, you have to pay everybody else $20 each. And it's up against, you know, some of these prospects. And listen, man, if there's one thing I know how to do, it's bunt. So I may get in there. I can't hit a lick. But I certainly can bunt. So I think it'd be a fun little challenge to do. It's a new thing. They've never done that before.
So is it like a target, like you're trying to bunt to certain quadrants on the field?
I have no earthly idea. I don't know
just
how
get
firm
it down.
Is.
Yeah, exactly. So
I have no idea.
There's a lot of hubbub right now here at the Peoria Sports Complex.
We got about 90 fantasy campers. All of the training staff, and now there's like, I don't know, a good 30-plus prospects here because, yeah, it's prospect camp is happening this week. They're actually getting work in. Ethan Salas just walked by. I saw Leo DeVries walking around.
Yep.
Like, they're all here getting their work in. And so, yeah, there's about 130-plus people all in a very small hallway.
Yeah, imagine trying to get your work in and all these loads are walking around. I mean, it's just, it's got to be excruciating for these guys.
I do want to point out, during the break, Woodsy was received an honor from Arkis and Fraco came by. And
Pauly
gets one as well. Look at you two.
Yeah, look at you guys.
We got stars of the game. They got their lineups from yesterday. Star of the game, Terry Kennedy, saying the defense helped save the team.
Thanks, TK.
And both of you, do you have like incentive clauses in your contracts? You get a couple extra stars. You can bump up the level of salary for next season.
No. Just you know, mine came in a loss, so this is a.
So did Paulie's.
Yeah, it's just a. You know, it's nice for individual accolades, but I'd rather have team.
You're more
success.
Of a team guy.
Yeah, more of a team guy. Team success.
Yeah, I would have traded that.
Yeah,
card for the win. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was nice. It's nice to be recognized, though.
Good eyewash, both of you.
Big time.
Well done. Team first. Head of the individual awards and accolades.
Always.
It's always smart.
But
to
I
do
will
that.
Save this. It's a very special memento. Thank you to my coaches and everybody that made this possible.
I want to remind everybody: the biggest fan contest is returning, starting next Monday, January 27th, you can win a grand prize night in the Odyssey Suite with 20 tickets for you and your friends at a future Padres game. And all you have to do is register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Put your name in, and then starting next week, we will announce names three times a day, 9 a.m. during our show, 1 o'clock during the Annie and Elston program, and 5:30 with Gwen and Chris. You hear your name, you'll have a chance to call back. You do that, you're in the final grand prize drawing for the night at the Odyssey Suite at Petco Park for a Padres game coming up later this season.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Just make sure you get your name in. Do that before it's too late.
Mark Grant, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep, there's everybody. What's the schedule?
Third breakfast.
What's the schedule, Paulie? We got pictures and all that?
Yeah, they're getting ready to take a team photo and all the individual photos here, which takes a little bit of time. I don't really know of the schedule. I need to check in with Tom or Bill here because the field was completely frosted over this morning.
Ooh, really?
That's what I was told, and I said, yeah, it was 32 degrees when I woke up this morning, just a couple of miles away. So that'll happen. You will have a frosty field. So they're waiting for everything to kind of get back to normal here before we can get started.
That can happen on the golf course as well. You get on in the frost, you damage the turf, and it doesn't recover. We've seen that at Torrey Pines for the Farmers Insurance Open, which is just getting underway right now at the Torrey South and North courses. When it's too cold, you got to have a little frost delay in the mornings. Puts everything behind schedule. But I'm glad I've got you guys for a little while longer this hour. We can actually talk about some of the things we didn't get to yesterday. Sammy and I talked a little bit about the NFL weekend that was, but the matchups this weekend, the two conference championship games. One thing that I think Sammy and I both agreed on, I think the Bills-Chiefs game, the AFC championship, one of the hardest to handicap that I can ever remember. I can make a very compelling case for both sides in that game. I have no idea at this point which way I'm even leaning. Every time I start thinking about, oh, yeah, it's got to be the Chiefs. It's Patrick Mahomes. They're at home. He's going to make a big play. They're going to pull out another close win. I go back to then, but it's Buffalo. I think they're the better team.
Yep.
Josh Allen is having such an amazing season. They can't be denied every single year. They won in the regular season against the Chiefs. Why wouldn't they win this game? Again, I just keep going back and forth in this game.
I don't know if you guys talked about the X factor yesterday. And about 6-8 weeks ago, I think I came on the air and said, look, I watched some of the Chiefs games. I'm seeing the reaction on social media from the calls that they're getting. And, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a couple of egregious ones. You could look at both sides and see this. But did you guys talk about the, I guess, the absolute travesty on some of the calls that happened last weekend? And, listen, it's one thing to hear it from Joe Public fan. It's another thing to hear it from opposing players, right? You heard all of the Texans saying, we knew we were coming in here, and it was us against the Chiefs and the Zebras. We all knew that, right? It's one thing to hear them. National writers, Troy Aikman on the broadcast going, come on! You know what I'm saying? Like, it has gotten to a really weird place. And I don't know that it's intentional, but I don't know that it's...
I doubt it's intentional. I don't know why you'd like Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs any more than any other team. I do think Patrick Mahomes has become very good at
selling
and drawing those flags from officials. Now, that may be the X factor, but that's another thing, and we talked about it briefly. Is it going to bounce back the other way? Will officials be so conscious of the fact that they're taking so much criticism that they're going to be afraid to throw a flag against the Buffalo Bills in a situation like that? Or will it just continue on like it has the last couple of seasons and the Chiefs are going to get a couple of key penalties? They're going to help sustain a drive, add some extra points somehow that they weren't going to get otherwise. I don't know which way that's going to fall this week either.
You really saw it from national writers, not afraid to criticize the refs in that scenario, in that game. And, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, there's a couple of absolutely crazy calls, and you watch it and just go, what are we doing? What are we doing? Let's let these guys play it out. But, again, you mentioned he does have the ability to sell it, and when he can sell it, you're going to get some of those calls. And then when you're a star in that league, you're going to get some calls as well. That's no different than any other league as well. But it got pretty egregious.
The other game, Eagles and Commanders, I'm leaning toward Philly. I mean, Jaden Daniels has been great. I did not see coming what happened in Detroit, in that game. But I think the Eagles are healthier and deeper than the Lions were. Lions were always on borrowed time this season, and you thought maybe the home field advantage and the Dan Campbell and the fan factor could carry them maybe all the way to the Super Bowl. But ultimately they faced the stark reality that they just didn't have enough left on defense against a team and a player as talented as Jaden Daniels. I think the Eagles do have enough, and I think the Commanders are going to struggle to stop Saquon Barkley. Looking at some of the numbers, the second-level tackling, you know, when a running back gets out in, you know, 10 yards deep, they aren't good. And when you're trying to get Saquon Barkley down, he'll be primed to have another big game for the Eagles. I think that's going to be too much to overcome. I think the spread, which was 5, I think when it opened, seemed a little light to me, leaning toward the Eagles in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, that does seem like a little bit of a light spread. May see where that one goes. I'm not sure. I'm not sure at all where that one's going to go, and it will depend on the points in that game. But, man, I think, you know, I took the Commanders last week. They looked really, really good, and they're playing with a lot of confidence and, again, playing with a little house money right now, Benny.
So, yeah, it's already moved up to 6 okay. from 5 when it started. Still under that touchdown mark, though, that 6, 6.5, probably as good as you're going to get. I doubt it's going to trickle back toward the Commanders. The Chiefs have actually gone from 1.5 to 2-point favorites since the opening lines came out. They're acting like they're the underdogs in this game.
Of course.
They're not. They're the favorites. They're favored by 2. But when you're only favored by 2 at home, you make the argument, hey, that means the odds makers think that Buffalo is a better team than
us.
Yeah,
they don't believe in us.
Because that means Buffalo would be favored by around 4 if this game was played in Buffalo. So they're going with the nobody believes in us, even though we've won 2 straight Super Bowls. We were the 1 seed and won 15 games in the regular season. And
it sounds very, very familiar.
I do remember about that story a little bit.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
I don't like when people point at the Kansas City Chiefs as an argument as to why – hey, no, you know, the system works for, teams can, you know, no one hates the Chiefs.
But no, a lot of people hate the Chiefs.
A lot of people hate the Chiefs.
I know, I don't hate
them. It's not a sign that the NFL is broken, that
right.
The Chiefs are dominant, yet we're pointing toward the Dodgers as a sign that baseball is broken because of what they're doing.
Different. I mean, it's apples and oranges. It's way apples and oranges. The Chiefs can't go in and money whip guys next year.
No,
they can't defer.
The opposite. As they keep winning, it becomes more and
more
difficult for them to replace players. They can't afford to keep guys because of the salary cap, so they have to be smarter and even better the next season to win a Super Bowl. And that's not the case in baseball.
That's exactly right.
We're seeing the opposite right now taking place in baseball. Are you guys going to go out to take your pictures?
What's
going on here?
Yeah, we got to get going.
Okay.
I think it's going to all work out pretty well.
Okay.
We're going to go out and take team photos.
Okay.
And then Woods will return. My team, or we're going to take the big camp photo, and then my team is first, and Woods' team is third, so I'll come back and tag him out. He goes and takes his pictures, and then probably at the bottom of the hour, we should be joined by Mark Davis.
Okay, perfect. And I just need Woods for a couple of minutes for a take on Woods. You think that'll be able to happen in our next segment?
Work. Yep.
All right, so if you want to be our contestant for take on Woods, call into Frank now in the studio, 833-288-0973. He'll get a contestant online during the break, and then you'll have a chance to qualify for our trip to Vegas in our musical trivia challenge coming up in our next segment, 833-288-0973. That is coming up next.
All right, my friends, don't go through another year with all the high interest debt that you've accrued. Let Loan Pronto wipe it all out now. Loan Pronto's rapid equity loan makes it easy to pay off all your credit cards or tackle that 2025 home improvement project. Now, get cash in your pocket fast. No appraisals, no paperwork, no waiting. Their AI-driven technology gets you approved and funded in as little as a day. With low fixed rates, lightning-fast transfers, you can do it too. Consolidate your debt, improve your home, take control of your finances. Imagine being credit card debt-free this time next week. Don't wait. Call Loan Pronto now, 619-207-4336, or visit loanpronto.com. Get your free rate quote now with no hard credit pull, 619-207-4336, or go to loanpronto.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Paul, I just mentioned coming up later this hour here at Fantasy Camp, we will be joined by 1989 National League Cy Young Award winner Mark Davis. 44 saves that season for the San Diego Padres. I remember, you know, how exciting that was. You know, hey, we got the Cy Young Award winner. I think only 8 relief pitchers all time have actually won a Cy Young Award.
Pretty insane.
Never chatted with Mark Davis before,
no.
So be interesting to hear back what that year was like for him and his career. He definitely burned bright for a couple of seasons, cashed in with the Kansas City Royals of all teams the next year, if I remember, with a big free agent contract.
Yeah, better to burn out than fade away, Benny. You know what I mean?
I'd rather have three monster
seasons than have, 10 years of just kind of plodding along.
Always listed now on the Cy Young Award winners. Paulie's still out getting pictures taken, but we got Frankie back in the studio. We got a contestant on the line.
Where should I go?
Woods here.
All right, yell at JoJo. I'll go way deep in the training room.
And okay. I'll tell JoJo to get you when it's done. But let's get to it. It is time to take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
$10 gas card. Scorpions are returning with their 60 years of Scorpions Vegas residency show live August 14th through the 23rd at Planet Hollywood Live at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. We've got John as our contestant on the line. John, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, John, you are up. We're going to just have two categories today. Paulie's got the 2 second songs for the other one stashed away somewhere, Frankie. We'll find it for you for tomorrow. So just give you two choices today. We've either got hot takes, 5 song titles that begin with the word take, or a mystery category, which could be anything, but the 2 second song will help you unravel all the rest of the song. So two choices, hot takes or the mystery category. John, what would you like to play?
Go hot takes.
All right, hot takes. All right, this one pretty simple. 5 song titles that all begin with the word take. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many of the 5 as possible. If you don't know an answer, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. You'll go first, then we'll get Woods back from the training room. He'll go second. If you beat or tie him, we'll put you into the drawing for Las Vegas. First question is our 2 second song. Frankie will play it back in the studio. You need to identify the song title and the artist to score that point and go on from there. Frankie, are you ready with the song? All right, Frankie is ready. John, you ready to play?
Let's do it.
All right, let's get to it. 60 seconds on the clock. John, your time begins when Frankie plays our 2 second song. The category again, hot takes. Good luck, John. Let's take on Woods.
Heard it from a friend who...
Oh gosh, it's REO Speedwagon. Take it to the limit.
Oh, no, that's the Eagles song. Which 1986 song by Berlin was the love theme for the movie Top Gun?
Take My Breath Away?
That is correct. Ronnie Spector is the Ronnie referenced in which 1986 hit by Eddie Money that leans on the Motown classic Be My Baby by the Ronettes? Which 1972 classic by the Eagles references the town of Winslow, Arizona?
Yeah, that's Eagles. Man, I'm all over the place. Bass.
Ireland's Hozier had a debut hit in 2013 with which song that leans heavily on religious metaphor?
Take Me to Church.
Oh.
What?
Oh, I'm going to give it to you. You got it just in time for that one. Frankie's very tight with the rules here, but we got you with 2 as the score. Time ran out. All right,
JoJo,
Frankie says it was a minute. I believe him. He's got a clock. He says time ran out. So your score is 2.
Heck?
I'm not going to give the answers out. All right, put you on hold. Stay there because Woodsy's coming back. He did not hear the game. He was deep in the bowels of the training room here at Peoria Sports Complex. All right, Woodsy doesn't get the category. I'm turning it around so you can't see it.
Yeah, I couldn't.
You couldn't hear anything.
I couldn't find any Tordall in there. That's what I was looking
John's
for.
John's score is locked in. Put 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Frankie plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on John.
That's REO Speedwagon. Take It on the Road.
Correct. Which 1986 song by Berlin was the love theme for the movie?
Take My Breath Away.
Correct. Ronnie Spector is the Ronnie, referenced in which 1986 hit by Eddie
Take
Money?
Take Me Home Tonight.
Correct. Which 1972 classic by the Eagles references the town of Winslow, Arizona?
Take It Easy.
Correct. Ireland's Hozier had a debut hit
Take Me to Church.
All right. 5 for 5. Whoa. That's an easy.
Man.
Just so John, because he was mad, he felt like he didn't get his full minute. Woodsy needed about 23 seconds to get through all five in that category. So,
if only I played baseball as well as I played Take on Woods, I would not be sitting here with you two yokels. I'll tell you that right now.
Hot takes was the category.
Hot takes.
Yeah,
I
everything
like it.
Starting with the word take. John, thank you for
Thanks,
playing.
John.
You may owe Frank an apology. He was very upset. He felt like the buzzer came much too quickly for his liking.
Johnny, I'm sorry.
Didn't make a difference. He got two, though. He got five.
Yeah, I mean, I think you would have lost if you had 4 minutes. I think you would have lost.
Italian Paul runs a much tighter shift than not.
That's what
Italian
I said, and then Frankie defended himself. He said, a minute is a minute, Paulie.
Yep.
He's not wrong.
It's like
it's not
if
even
you
a
want
minute
to give them an
minute.
Extra
I pressed
some extra
the hockey
time,
that's, button, and it ran out. Like, that's set for a minute.
It's set for a minute. it's 1 minute of time. So anyway,
I made the button. I can confirm.
Yeah,
it's 1 minute. 1 minute.
It's 1 minute. Right. It ran out. It was time for the buzzer.
Do I have pictures now, Paulie?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm gonna go take some pictures. Your individual and team photos.
My favorite.
And then you'll come back with Mark Davis, who's going to join us in our next segment. Padres Cy Young winner.
Don't come back without Mark Davis. If you don't have Mark Davis, don't come back at all. You're bringing him back with you. All right. How are pictures going on out there? So you did a big, giant, like
we'll
all camp picture,
the group photo. Yep.
How far away do they have to get to like get everybody in the shots?
Part of the Peoria Sports Complex here. There's a rooftop area, and so the photographer actually went up the stairs to the rooftop and was able to get a good downward shot of the whole camp and all the coaches and trainers and everybody out here. So we got that done, and then we had our team individual photos and all that. So Woodsy's doing that right now. It is cold.
I believe the rooftop area was where a few years ago they tried to put in a pickleball court up there, but it became too distracting for everybody.
Yeah.
Then they put in the basketball court for a while.
Basketball court's still here.
Basketball court is still
right
there.
On the other side of
this
wall.
So, yeah, you can still shoot some hoops.
Yep.
While you're here at Padres spring training or fantasy camp. I think the pickleball court is gone from the roof.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody playing any pickleball.
I've been up on the roof lately, so they keep updating. The clubhouse we're looking in was added a few years ago, as they've made additions over the years here to the Peoria Sports Complex. Opened back in 1994 as the new spring training home for the Mariners and the Padres. Padres moving, of course, from Yuma, Arizona, where they had held spring training from their inception, at the start of the franchise. But everything changes around here. Back in the early days, this was the only thing out here. It was the Peoria Sports Complex. You had, like, the highway, and there was nothing. It was, like, fields and trees, and that was about it. Now, just in this last offseason, they've added three more restaurants like in the parking lot here at the Peoria Sports Complex. We're on the Padres side. Used to be just parking all the way to the street. There's now, like, three restaurants that you can just walk straight over from the ballpark. If you catch a game at spring training, you come over. Three new dining options for you. Bell Road wasn't here with every single chain restaurant known to existence. It's quite a different place than it was 30 plus years ago.
Yeah, what gets us every year driving out is, and some of the old heads will remember, that Padres spring training used to be in Yuma.
So easy to get to.
Yeah, easier from San Diego for sure, but I mean, we usually will stop in Yuma, whether it's for lunch or gas or whatever on the way out, and I'm looking around and I go, this might be the worst spring training area in the history of spring training. Like, what do you got? Hey guys, we're in Scottsdale tomorrow, so get ready for a 2.5 hour bus ride. And then you're looking around, you're like, there's nothing to do in Yuma. How many times did you make that trip?
I did quite a few actually growing up. Desert Sun Stadium, a little bleak, I will say that. You know, it's, nothing like the complexes of today. It was pretty bare bones.
I mean, it's got to be what it's like in Florida in the Grapefruit League. You have to drive two plus hours to every game.
I think they would not always come back to Yuma. Like, come and stay for a few days, like a road trip.
Yeah.
Phoenix, and then they'd come back and do like a homestand in Yuma as other teams
this
would come
so
in.
So much but, easier. Guys can take their own personal vehicles to spring training games if they need to, and
it's
just
a lot
road
simpler.
Trip over, you know, 20 minutes to Surprise or wherever they're going to play.
All right, Woodsy's going to come back from Picture Day. He's supposed to be bringing Mark Davis, the 1989 National League Cy Young Award winner, is going to be with us coming up. First, though, I want to talk about the Barnes firm. Injury attorneys with a legal team in San Diego that is very well-versed in modern and comp. You are injured in an accident. If you are injured in an accident with a self-driving car, there are legal issues that you probably even thought about. Rights, things that affect your safety, and could potentially affect your case, whether it's the software, the pro autonomous vehicle technology and regulations to ensure that they can provide you with the best possible legal representation. And when you set up your consultation, it's absolutely free. So why not give them the call at 1-800-8-MILLION? If you're hurt, you need someone representing you. They are ready to step in and do it. If they take your case, they will only get paid if you win your case. So no risk on your part. They will be fighting for you to try to get you a much bigger settlement than you could get going on your own. You just need to make that call. Just keep it in your mind. Hopefully you won't need it. But if you do, either go to thebarnesfirm.com or call 1-800-8-MILLION. Don't face it alone. It could be the best phone call you ever make. Welcome back. It's 9:36 here in Arizona, 8:36 back in San Diego. Ben and Woods live at Padres Fantasy Camp in Peoria, Arizona. And, growing up a Padres fan, 1984 was hugely special for me, but after that, there was kind of a dry spell for, postseason appearances until 1996. So, every year I just resigned myself. I'm cheering for a batting title for Tony Gwynn. That was like, all right, that was something I could look forward to and watch in the paper every single day how he was doing against guys like, Will Clark or whoever he was battling against for the batting title that year. But one year in particular, I got really excited, 1989, because the Padres had a really special season out of the bullpen. It was such a special season, it resulted in one of, I believe, only 8 Cy Young Awards ever for a relief pitcher. And joining us right now at Padres Fantasy Camp is the man who won the 1989 National League Cy Young Award out of the bullpen for the San Diego Padres. Mark Davis is here with us on 97.3 The Fan. Mark, it is good to meet you. Thanks for sitting down with us.
It's nice to be here.
So tell me about that season in particular. 1989, you had been with the Giants, came over with Dave Dervecki, you just walked by in the trade. In 1988, you had a good year, and then it just all came together for you in 1989. How do you remember it?
89, I think we had a lot of close games. The team played well, and I seemed to be able to finish games. It was 88 was a first time I'd really been on the closing end of a lot of games, so it was a little bit more comfortable going into spring training. I was going to be out, and that was what I knew I was going to do. Prior to that, it was more a lot of different roles. So 89 to start, we started off well. I was able to get out in some games, so that got me comfortable in the situation. It just seemed to snowball. I think any good year or bad year, things snowball one way or the other. And I've been on the other end of that. So it was nice to be able to reap the benefits of the team doing well and me playing well through the season.
You know, Mark, I think every starting pitcher or every pitcher wants to start. They want the ball every 5 days. They want to go out there and they want to give 7-8 innings. Andy Ashby talked about it yesterday. I need to go out. I give 6, 7, or 8 innings, less than 3 runs, let my team have a chance to win. There comes a time for a lot of pitchers when they say, well, you're better suited here. Was that a hard adjustment for you when they started moving you around?
I think when I was with San Francisco, for me to adjust to that, I think the realization of I'm not good enough to start, so my best role for me would be to be in the bullpen, whatever role in the bullpen. So that was an adjustment. Like you said, I think everybody that pitches wants to start. You want to have the ball. You want to be able to shake everybody's hand at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And
but
for
you still
me,
get to do that. As a closer,
exactly.
Yeah.
But what in my mind, when I was a kid, that was what you did. And the adjustment came more in San Francisco, so when it came down to San Diego, it was more, what do you need me to do? Where can I help the team from whatever role that is? So it just seemed to work out that's what I ended up doing.
And there's a time, though, in baseball, and I don't know exactly when it is. It might be fun to go back and look, but at some point, becoming a closer was cool, and being a closer was cool, and being a closer these days is cool. And if you're a closer, you're a lockdown closer, You can make a lot of money. You have a lot of fame, a lot of opportunity to help your team win ball games. I feel like it was kind of around that era, maybe, where if you were a closer, maybe even a little before, you think about like Lee Smith and Goose Gossage, but you know, Goose would go out and throw the last three innings and get a save, you know. And for you, did you feel cool when you were the closer for the San Diego Padres? You were getting all those saves.
Oh, sure I did. I think that you felt that you, like you said, at the end of the game, you shook hands. So it was an instant feel-good situation. And I do feel like the closer role was that in my era. I think now it's opened up to where you have multiple people in games, and basically you will close the seventh, you'll close the eighth, you'll close the ninth. Whenever an important part of the game pops up, everybody in the bullpen's looked at closing whatever time they come into the game.
Yeah.
So it's been redefined, and I think there's multiple pitchers that come out of the bullpen that have that same feeling. So I think what you're looking at is a unit. And I think a quality unit gets you a lot more wins. And
no doubt.
I think that's, looking at it that way, I think you have a lot more guys that can enjoy the pitchability of whatever time that is in the game, not just the end.
No question.
Talking to Mark Davis, won the 1989 National League Cy Young Award for the Padres. I believe it wasn't until a little bit later, Trevor Hoffman, Hell's Bells, it became fashionable for closers to come in to their own music. I assume you didn't have a walk-in song in 1989?
No, I didn't, and I think it was a little bit different of an era where we would come in the seventh and you just pitch the rest of the game.
But if you did have a walk-in
yeah.
song in 1989, if you can go back to then, what do you think you would have been coming out of the bullpen to?
Well, when I was with San Francisco, the opening games, when we started games, Fanfare for the Common Man, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer
is
what we came out to. So I always looked at that as the one I came
out
to.
That was yours.
Talking to Mark Davis here on Ben and Woods this morning. You were just talking to Terry Kennedy and talking about your pitch mix. And you're talking about throwing a changeup every now and then. There's a video of you guys, all the Cy Young Award winners in there. You ever, when you take the mound, how hard is it knowing, all right, I don't feel great. You know, my leg's sore, my arm, my elbow's barking. I got to get these guys out, right? Like how much of a mental game is it as opposed to fighting through the pain and executing your pitches?
Well, I think when you look at it, everybody that plays the game during a season is not going to feel perfect. So you're going out there just like everybody else is going out there. So it becomes between the ears is the most important part of what you do. Every time you would go out there, I felt like when you stood on the mound and said, I have to do this, nothing good was going to come out of that. So what you tried to get into the mindset of was, I get to do this.
Ooh,
so
I like that.
If you go on the field and I'm throwing the baseball, here, hit it. I've got seven guys behind me. If that mindset's there and it's basically just in the moment, you feel like the players talk about being in the zone, the more that you can cut it down to just that, I think it's easier to be in the zone because you're only asking yourself to execute a pitch. Whatever happens after that, if I feel like I'm going to get you out, it's going to show in my mannerisms. Just like a hitter, when he stands at the plate and you throw a ball in on him and the ball's like an inch from him and he just moves an inch. Oh, that guy's locked
in. He's locked in.
So, but I think that aura, you can show on the mound
sure.
as well. So it's more of a business-like, don't let anything else affect you. This is what I'm going to do. And I think when players are at their best, it's when they cut it down to that one little moment in time and say, this is what I need to do now. I get to do it. I don't have to do it.
Now, every baseball player I've ever met remembers, you know, you grab Ashby and say, hey, who'd you get your first win against? And what did you do? Oh, I threw a 3-2. Then to this guy, he grounded out to short. He made the throw. It was a little low. He scooped it. So for you, give me a guy in your career that you felt like he can't hit me. And then give me a guy that was like, oh, God, here he comes.
Not really sure. I don't have those.
You don't have those?
As far as that goes, I know a lot of people hit me well. So I tended just to try to – I felt like if they were on a hot spell and I was pitching, I felt like, okay, let's go at it. If they weren't hitting well, and I knew that, at the time you just look inside. I wanted to know who was hot. In the last 5 or 10 games, who's swinging the bat well? You don't attack those guys as much as you attack the ones that aren't. So you try to put yourself in the best situation But most of the time, it seemed like I gave up hits to the guys that were hot.
Yeah.
So ideally, what you're trying to do is make the matchup between somebody that's not hot and go after them that way. I don't know if I really had a bunch of numbers. I just knew I was surprised at how many guys that I pitched against did have good batting averages against me.
Talking to Cy Young Award winner Mark Davis here with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. And yesterday we saw a lefty closer, Billy Wagner, elected to the Hall of Fame. But it's kind of rare to see lefties get that role, because nowadays when you're left-handed and you're in the bullpen, they need to save you for the left-handed spots in the lineup.
Yeah.
How different was it back then? Obviously, you were closing, so you came in later in the game, but your manager probably, were they looking at the matchups as much then? Was lefty-lefty as big of a thing as it's become nowadays, it seems like?
One, I think that at that time, if you were the closer, it didn't matter, left or right-handed, you were the closer, so you were going to come in late in the game. I think when I was with the Giants out of the bullpen, yes, they did try to match up the lefty. If you're the only lefty in the bullpen, they would warm you up, but it was harder for them to put you in the game because they didn't want to burn you. So they tried to utilize you in the most important point of the game, lefty versus lefty. The having multiple lefties in your bullpen allowed you to warm up and go and pitch in the game. But one interesting fact, when I was at the end of my career, I had gone to spring training with the Marlins and was released. Driving home, Houston asked me to come and throw a bullpen and possibly pitch into a game. So I got there, got dressed, I'm warming up, and there's a little left-hander throwing next to me, throwing pellets. And it was Billy Wagner before Billy Wagner was Billy Wagner.
That's unbelievable.
So I got to look and thought, you know what? I think I'm done.
You didn't know you were comparing yourself to a future Hall of Famer at the moment.
I did not know that he was, at that time, throwing 100, just waiting to go out and crush it for a career.
Well, Mark, it's a pleasure to get to know you. We actually have a panel discussion later that I get to be the moderator. So looking forward to talking a little bit more with all the campers later today. But thank you for sitting down with us for a few minutes.
You're welcome, and I'll see you a little later.
Appreciate it.
Mark Davis even holds the microphone with the left hand.
Oh, yeah.
Cy Young Award winner, 1989 for the San Diego Padres. We're going to check traffic continuing on here more this hour with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. 9:48 here in Arizona, 8:48 back in San Diego. Ben and Woods continuing on until 10 o'clock this morning. We still have Don't Do This coming up in our 9 o'clock hour, a little pushback today. Saw yesterday, and we had brought this up before on the show, about the one-of-one Paul Skeens baseball card that everyone was looking for, yeah. And it was found yesterday, reportedly at an 11-year-old in Los Angeles. Has found the card. Now, remember all the offers that were out there. The Pirates have offered,
like season tickets
for the next 30 years.
Here it is.
For the card. I mean, people are, like, nuts to get their hands on this thing, Woodsy.
All right, so, proposed trade. The one-of-one Paul Skeens rookie debut patch autograph card. The 11-year-old collector would receive 2 Pirates season tickets behind home plate for the next 30 years. A meet-and-greet with Paul Skeens. 2 Paul Skeens autographed jerseys, softball game for 30 at PNC Park with coaching from Pirates alumni, private tour of Pirate City and Lincoln Park, Pirates game with Livy Dunn in her suite, courtesy of Livy. If I'm an 11-year-old kid, I'm making that trade. You can have this piece of cardboard that's signed by Paul Skeens. I'll get the jerseys. I'll get an evening with Livy Dunn. I'll have season tickets behind the plate for 30 years. It's a no-brainer. I mean, it is a no-brainer for me. I'm making that trade ASAP.
I feel like you have to move to Pittsburgh to take advantage of
your season tickets.
He's in
L.A. That's a good point.
He's in Los Angeles, though.
That's a good point.
It's
a
long way away from Pirates games.
Does it
uproot your entire family?
Yeah, just for that?
All right, so you want to take in, give me one game, you know, do the suite and all that, maybe make a week out of it, have the softball game or whatever, and then you're like, how much value is season tickets behind home plate for 30 years?
It's in the hundreds
like,
and hundreds
I'll just take
of
that
thousands
cash,
of dollars. Yeah.
And then
I mean hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. they're talking about the worth of this card.
It's one
of
one.
Sell it could be even more than that.
Yeah, like, maybe you throw it in the safe, sit on it, you know, and get it insured and all that. And I mean,
then you're kind of gambling on Paul Skeens and his career.
Yeah, it's true.
And,
that's
you
true.
Know, him turning into what people think he could turn into if he just ends up being a good but not great pitcher. That 101, not going to be that valuable. If he goes on to be a Hall of Famer, that thing could be worth millions of dollars.
I am such a strike while the iron's hot kind of guy. I think I would have to take the deal and figure out, you know, hey, I can give these tickets away. I could sell these tickets, whatever, these tickets behind home plate. But be even able to go out there for a week's worth of games would be pretty incredible. And then all the, you know, the extras that comes
with
it.
What would you be advising Bo to do if he was the one who found it?
For the Pirates?
Yeah, here in Southern California.
Yeah, you're in Southern California, so very similar. I mean, obviously Bo's a little younger, but 30 years. What would you tell him to do with it?
I'd probably try to work out some sort of cash deal, put it in an account for him, and go.
Don't put it in the spokes of your bicycle.
It would be tough to turn down that. It'd be tough to turn down that night with Libby Dunn, but Taylor would be all about the night with Libby Dunn. He's a little girl crazy. Bo's focused on his athletic.
It's just a night in a suite with Libby Dunn.
Yeah, I know it's not a night with Libby Dunn. It's not an adult film. I get it, but he likes.
And he's 11.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, when you're 11, that's Libby Dunn, and you're hanging with her for an hour. She's tousling your hair, and oh, look at you, aren't you cute?
You might not be that interested yet at 11.
Yeah, well, my son is 4, and he's very interested already. So I don't know what to tell you. It's such a conundrum for this kid, but. What a cool moment. I can't even imagine the elation, the rush of that.
I laugh because obviously Topps, the baseball card company, makes the decision. They could have made one. They could have made 1,000.
Yep.
You know, and that changes the entire equation of the economics of this based on what they kind of decide to do.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why I've never really been much of a collector. It always feels a bit artificial to me. And I'm not casting aspersions on anyone who collects. You know, if there's personal items to you, that's great. You know, if they're memories, they're, you know, part of your childhood, whatever it is, that's fantastic. And, you know, keep them and enjoy them. If you're collecting for the rarity to sell them as an investment, for me, it always feels artificial. Like,
well, I mean, what about the stock market? Doesn't that feel artificial to you as well? I mean, it's not something tangible. You know, it's all what you make of it. I mean, I'm a collector of things, but I collect things that are important to me.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, at least in the stock market, you're like, you're buying into a company.
Sure.
You know, you believe in the product, you know, who it's going. I get with a baseball card.
It certainly isn't. It's in the ether. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
at least
with
a baseball card, you can hold.
Yeah,
but.
I mean, it's a thing, but it's also a thing that was just randomly put into the universe by this company that said, "Oh, I'm going to make one of these baseball cards, or I'm going to make a million of these baseball cards." And
it's got his debut patch. That's what's making it so special.
Okay, yeah, the debut patch. Yeah, man. I mean, it's a tough call. It's a tough call. It'll be interesting to follow along and see how that transpires and what his family decides to do. But man, what a moment!
Especially this kid getting a night with Libby Dunn.
Yeah, gets a whole night with Libby Dunn. She's like,
indecent proposal.
I didn't agree right. to this.
Paul's like, all right, I want that card back. Here's my girlfriend.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, listen, that's a big one. That's a big pull, as the kids say. It's a huge, huge pull. Getting that.
Glad I guess the kid got it and not some guy.
All
he does. Is break cards.
That's true.
That's true.
I was definitely
trying to find it.
I was not looking forward to the headline. 63-year-old man, gets one of one Paul Skeens.
Yeah, I know.
Like, this feels different than the kid getting that Wemby basketball jersey. And
selling
the kid was like 4 years old, by the way. And then all of a sudden it's on golden auctions. A day later, you're like, oh, that feels a little dirty.
And isn't there a thing where people were like taking like unopened cards, like to MRIs and stuff?
Yeah,
There's all
kinds
them
of. There's all kinds of ways
to figure out what was in there before they actually, you know, buying them or opening them.
100%.
That feels kind of dirty to me.
Of course,
You know, and hopefully this is just, you know, kid bought a pack of baseball cards and
pulled it out.
It's like having the winning scratcher to a lottery.
I don't know how that works. Like when you pull the pack, like putting your fingerprints on it, even for a second, does that ruin it?
Yeah, you have to like get it graded and all that. It's nuts.
All right, we're gonna take time out. We got 1 hour to go. We are live here at Padres Fantasy Camp. More to get to, including Don't Do This. So stick around for more Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.